We'll now change genres and accents for Richard Spotswood. Richard Spotswood is co-founder and contributing editor of Bluegrass Unlimited, producer and editor of Folk Music in America, a 15-LP anthology from the Library of Congress, producer and host of the Dick Spotswood Show, broadcast weekly on from WMAU-FM Washington. Pardon? WAMU-FM Washington. Author of a discography, Ethnic Music on Records, which is in press, and author of numerous articles on various aspects of vernacular music, producer, editor of numerous live and reissue LPs. Dick Spotswood will speak to us this morning on the compilation of a 4,000 plus page ethnic discography and its computerization. Dick Spotswood.
Okay, sure. I can read your notes and find out all about myself. This is very, very gratifying. I gave a little informal chat on this topic last year for our local Ars chapter, and what kind of a turnout did we get? It was about half a dozen people or something. They really stayed away in droves. Now, I've asked the ushers to close all of the doors. because one thing that I can't do, Dr. Arnold did, is to, well, I could drop lots and lots of names. The difference is, you know Dr. Arnold's guys, but my own are guaranteed anonymous. So, actually, that leads me to ask myself rhetorically, what on earth did I want to get involved in preparing a discography of ethnic recordings? My own background is as an urban citizen of this community that most of you are guests in for the first week. A typical urban Washingtonian with no ethnic roots or any other roots to speak of, and popular tastes here, run as you know from the official, more or less, music presentations at the National Symphony level, or the many wonderful Juilliard Quartet performances we have each year at the Library of Congress, on down to the plethora of bluegrass bands that inhabit the geographical area roughly spanning Richmond to southern Pennsylvania, with large helpings in the Washington and everybody make yourself comfortable, and if you've still got. You're wearing a coat today, Ted?
Pants, too.
Okay. Thank you. I really shouldn't take anything for granted, should I? I really sort of stumbled on ethnic music by accident. I was your typical vernacular record collector. I too wanted all of the rare Oliver Jeanette recordings I could get. And when it came to blues records, I wanted the unplayed copies of the Jug Stompers. And when occasionally I came up with the wherewithal to buy them, I'd spend big bucks and so on. But in the early 1970s, a young Finnish researcher whose name was unknown to me published a couple of pioneering articles in the John Edwards Memorial Foundation journal, essentially telling Americans to wake up, you guys that are fans of the Skillet Lickers and the other fiddle bands, there are many parallels in these wonderful series of records that were made for your immigrant audiences in the first half century or so of this era, and in fact, in many levels, it's even continuing now, much as bluegrass does represent the growth of earlier generations of country music. There are parallel developments with the big urban polka bands in Chicago and Buffalo. And so I sort of read that and nodded and tucked it in the back of my head, not really believing it or anything, but in 1974, when I came to the Library of Congress to help put together that large collection of, they just wanted a sort of umbrella collection of folk music essentially derived from rootsy type recordings, as opposed to the Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, the folk interpreter approach. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. And it came back to me that I really ought to now pay some serious attention to what Pekka Gronoff was talking about. And so I very early met some very helpful people who helped to guide me along the way, the first of which is a gentleman sitting in this room. Well, he may have run, I don't know. Steve Maksimyuk was somebody I discovered one day, literally almost bumping into him in the Library of Congress and discovering that he had, that he, being a former Ukrainian national, a man in charge of a large Far Eastern department at the Voice of America, and is also the leading collector of Ukrainian records in the world. And I've been to his house many times since, and his archive is massive, impressive, and he understands it at all levels and all the implications. So Steve became a friend, and so did other people that I discovered who were also pointing towards specifically national interests. And all of this is just sort of leading to germinate this idea in my mind. So the Library of Congress collection was finished in about 2.5 years, and I was sort of looking around for something interesting to do in the late 70s, and I just was sitting talking informally with a group of friends and thinking to myself, I sure would like to know what else was on these recordings from A to Z. We have wonderful genre discographies of music in, you know, from many, many points of view. Why not something like this? After all, I had discovered by 1978, this really is the last frontier of old shellac music research. It's the last frontier of record collecting. By that time, a lot of us who had previously overlooked the early popular music of the century, both represented on the, you know, the generic house band recordings of the early tangos and foxtrots, to the Billy Murrays and Ada Joneses and Vernon Dalharts, all of these people were finding their champions, people who were willing to listen and understand their records and archive them, and it still seemed at that time that Pekka and I were nearly alone. So it turned out that that there was some grant money that was available from the National Endowment for the Arts that year. I put in for a grant and got a small grant for a pilot research trip that took me to New York and let me sit down for some months at CBS and RCA and just literally take little index cards and fill them up and try to leave spaces for when I was through at Columbia for the stuff that would probably be interstices when I got to Victor and so forth. That worked out halfway well. But it was very clear that this kind of mechanical just entering by pen and ink on index cards really had its limitation. This is before the days when, you know, small computers would have allowed me just to, you know, to take something along and unpack it and have the little text on a screen open up and make space for whatever I wanted to insert. I'm sure it would have cut my research time in half. So I started thinking along the lines of computerizing even then, not really thinking that would be a realistic possibility. But then when I returned to Washington with all of my index cards in 1980, I had meanwhile been to Rutgers University and looked through their Jeanette materials as well as lots of other things that they have on file out to MCA to look through all of the deck of materials that are there on microfilm as well as what they still have. It's not complete, unfortunately, of the earlier Brunswick and Vocalion data from the 1920s. I didn't have it all, but I had a pretty healthy component of this time of all the music that was recorded by and for the foreign immigrant audiences from 1893 to, of course, the inevitable cutout date, July 31st, 1940. If I'd asked you, we could have all said it in chorus, couldn't we? And there are reasons for that cutoff date being very popular, and I assume enough of you know what they are so that I won't elaborate unless I'm specifically asked to within the small time frame that I have. What I would like to really discuss this morning, and I brought three. Okay, am I going to screw this up if I do this? Okay.
It's taped down. It's taped down.
So that means no, don't do that.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, yes, me and high technology. What I did do this morning, and with having originally come with hopes of using the overhead projector for getting some stuff up here, but realizing that this small square with a tight paper on it would not be terribly visible, I'm going to give up on that, and I'll leave a moment or two for questions, and I'll sort of be schlepping this stuff around all day for anybody that's interested in seeing it. The discography as it exists now is on a database at Roscoe in the Library of Congress. Pardon me. And that database, I'm looking for a word and I can't think of it, the program that was created to actually place the discography there and get it to work has been a thing that has been consistently marvelous and inspiring. And I think probably the most important point that I have to share with you this morning is that computerized discography now does exist. It is possible, and the main task, I think, remains to us to try to shrink the whole process so that sizable amounts of material can be stored on something a little smaller than a mainframe. Steve Simoleon and other people I know are working very actively on aspects of this thing, so that that possibility may not be too terribly long off either. What I have here, a typical page, as I said, I really wish I could drop some names like Reverend Arnold. Who would you like to hear about? Sigvard Borgen, Mildred R. Bruns, Victor 1918, six attempts, one coupling resulted. Eric Bai from, he did some operatic material. Here's something by Edvard Grieg from 1920, and so on and so on. That's from the first couple of pages of my Norwegian chapter. There are 50 language groups. Each language group is put together with the material by all the artists, very much as you'd find them in any jazz or popular music discography. The artists are alphabetical, and all the material is chronologically listed under their names. There's the matrix number take information, any information we have about accompanying performers, and that's not always very massive. All known issues of the material, including, I don't think I have anything in here tracked on compact disc yet, but it does include 8-track tapes of Cantor Rosenblatt, should anybody, you know, want to listen to old Joe, you know, driving down the Texas road in their pickup truck.
It's not on Saturday.
that's true. He never recorded Never on Sunday, did he, Phil? And rarely on Saturday. I do, just for purposes of my own amusement and hoping that it might be useful to other users, include composer information. There's lots and lots of indexing done. This notebook that I brought here is one of 5 volumes of text. These 2 are all indexes. And this is where you really get to where you love the computer. There's a performer index, including all the artists under the main headings, all of the side men, side persons, extra performers, if you like. Everything is here under title. That includes alternate titles, subsidiary titles, titles in medleys, and even the one element of the program even goes along and inverts the definite or indefinite articles automatically. This here is the record number index. It starts out with Apple and goes to Z, and everything that's in the discography will be found here. Is Arion, which was a German language subsidiary. I see lots of heads nodding. Everybody knows Arion, a German language subsidiary of Jeanette in the Acoustic days. All known Arion issues are here. Get with the page number where that Arion number will be found. Ditto for all of the matrix numbers. Give you a good look at that. Which are listed automatically. They do not sort by the prefixes, the BBEs for the Victors and Ws for Columbias and so on. Those are ignored for certain sorting purposes, but they are reprinted so that when you're looking at matrix numbers, you'll have some idea a lot of the time what that particular matrix number represents. And next to every matrix number, a page reference is given. That's actually something that I had only created for my own convenience, and I'd be interested in some informal response from you folks. I had thought that it might be useful to publish the book without that, to keep the bulk of the thing somewhat down.
No.
I have been getting that kind of response. People would like a matrix number index. In that case, I hope you guys won't be too disappointed that I made one other unilateral decision, though I include all composer information that I could identify. Those have not been sorted for indexing purposes. There were problems attached, and I suppose that that's if this ever becomes part of something even more ambitious, where we really decide we need to do that on some sort of a universal basis, we will be able to go back and pick that information up, at least in terms of some sort of rough sorted procedures. But I think the heart of what computerizing a discography has been able to produce is in those indexes, and it does mean that now, instead of just an artist name, which is all that you usually have to get you to a conventional pre-computer discography, there are the several points of references. So one very practical use for my people referring to this is, if you find an old Victor single that doesn't give you any matrix number, the title and the artist credits are all in Greek, you still got a catalog number. One way or another, you are going to be able to find that record, assuming that I found it first and put it in this book, which is still not 100% the case. As I outlined earlier, I've had access to wonderful sources of information where I couldn't get hard data that was not at RCA. I went and just helped myself very generously out of the Fagan Morin files for their Victor project, and of course I've tried to share likewise with them, where I've been missing information for Columbia and a ton of other early acoustic labels that produced material in various foreign language fields, and I'm thinking particularly of the efforts in the disc field before Victor and Columbia shut down Leeds in 1907, when a lot of the little tiny companies that were operating out of, you know, basements and shoe stores still were resourceful enough to have foreign language series. Bill Bryan in the back of the room is the man who's just done me a ton of wonderful favors along those lines, and it's also helped me appreciate the depth and the breadth of his work, and look forward to the publication of that. Now, what I did do, and I almost forgot about it, and since it's 20 minutes after 10, and this is about 6 minutes worth, let's do a little music. Tim Brooks and Bill Bryan both last night convinced me that the thing would be a little dry and empty if we didn't do any actual music. So we're gonna boogie a little bit. Three selections, fragments of two and a third one in its entirety, to just give the vaguest possible notion of the aesthetic breadth of what we're trying to do. Felix and the Crazy Cats from 1938, a band that, as their name makes clear, is entirely made up of West Indian immigrants to New York City. The Duke of Iron singing a song that most of us know from the pen of Sholem Sekunda. I wanted to say Sholem Aleichem. It was a very unsuccessful song in a Yiddish Lower East Side musical in the closing days of the Depression that was revived by the Anders sisters, and Felix and the Duke of Iron give it a very significant cover. Following that, a fragment of a piece by, this is intended to show what the anthropological, ethnomusicological reach, Irish piper and fiddler with no other accompaniment, just as they were recorded in the Webster Hotel in Chicago in September of 1936. Powerful, it sounds like the banshees are descending, called the Four Courts of Dublin. And then we will stop and I will play the third.
La Bella even say, wonder about each language help. Help me tell you how grand you are. I try to explain, my merit to shame. So kiss me and say, you understand.
Is something I actually forgot my notes for. I had a nice little text all prepared because this recording first appeared in that Library of Congress anthology that I referred to some time ago, so some of you may be familiar with the recording through that. It's by the first important cantor. I for a long time thought it was the first cantor period to record in the United States. This is somewhat after Sirota's records were made in Warsaw and all, and Victor saw fit to record the young new cantor who was at the Ohab Zedek Hungarian congregation on the Upper West Side Isaiah Meisels had just come into his position there in 1907 when this recording was made. And he showed up at the recording studio to make seven or eight pieces on one single day, June 10th, 1907. He never came back to the studios again. In 1912, I believe, maybe 1911, he was moved on. Forcibly, willingly, I don't know, but his replacement was Joseph Rosenblatt, and the rest, they say, is, you know. I like Meisels better, and I must say that having taken this, when I originally intended to use this recording, Joe Hickerson's here, and I'm sure he'll remember, I went to Albert Weiser, the late Albert Weiser, who was the country's leading expert on early cantorial music on records, the Ebow Institute in New York, and he said, Meisels, I never heard of this guy. A tape is coming, never fear. He got the tape and said, what do you want to use this for? This is Dreck, this is something. And he said, we have these fine canners, we have Rosenblatt, we have Kvartan, and naming off several other people whose training, delivery, and everything were very comparable with the bel canto styles reflected on the opera stage of the time, and were very, very great singers. I preferred Meisels because I liked the fact that the guy had a beautiful voice, a fantastic range, but he still had that rough and ready sound, and instead of the relatively mild manner cellos and organs and the other, what did I call them, pseudo-Protestant intrusions that are on the Rosenblatt recordings. He is heard here with just a little choir of boys' voices, young prepubescent boys' voices. And if any of you knowing the early hillbilly music literature on records, the effect is much more like Ernest Stoneman's Family, Canner Meisels, 1907.
I'm too late and back home. I'm too worried about my mistake. My day I'm dead.
Most was after Dr. Weiser heard the piece a couple of times, he called me back and said, you were right. I didn't leave much time for questions or anything this morning. I think it would be I'm finished right on the dot, so I probably should keep my record untarnished. I'll be hauling this stuff around. Anybody that wants to have a look, please feel free. I'll open it up and show it to anybody for any excuse, whatever. Thanks.
Thank you.